We're middle of Torah Yud Ches in the Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. We're up to paragraph Gimel. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 55, the left-hand column, about a quarter of the way down the page. So far in this chapter on Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal discussed a few concepts. He started off talking about the fact that each and every single item has a tachlis. It has a purpose as to why this item is being done. For example, when a person builds a house, the purpose for building the house is not simply that there should be a house there. The purpose is that they should have a place to put their hat down in. They should have a place to rest in. What's the purpose for resting? A place to be able to raise a family, you know, etc. And so on and so forth. So Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the concept of a tachlis, and Rabbeinu Zal said that you should know that when a person thinks of doing something, the way the thought process works is a person usually thinks of a tachlis first before they think of the steps that are involved in doing it. Meaning, for example, when a person goes about building a house, the first thought that comes to their mind or the first picture isn't calling up the plumber and calling up the electrician and getting glass and this, that. The first picture that comes to mind is a place where they're going to be in with grass around it and a bedroom and this and that, all the different rooms they're going to have. They picture the finished product first, and then they go back to the beginning. When they start actually making it happen, that's when they start from the beginning and go through all the steps to create it. Rabbeinu Zal said you should know that the tachlis of the whole creation is the pleasures of Olam Haba. That's the purpose of the whole creation of Olam Hazeh, and everything that's in it is for the sake of Olam Haba. And Rabbeinu Zal said Olam Haba is something that only Hashem understands. Also, the tzaddikim, they also are able to understand it to a degree. And Rabbeinu Zal said each and every single Jew, according to how well they're connected to the tzaddik, they're also able to receive from the tzaddik an understanding of Olam Haba. Based on what? Based on how well a person is able to be mefir their kas with rachmonis. Rabbeinu Zal says that whenever a person has a test where something happens where there could be a reaction of getting angry, and a person stifles that anger and replaces it with rachmonis, that item alone will help a person to be able to receive this tachlis from the tzaddikim, to receive an understanding from Olam Haba. And then Rabbeinu Zal went on to explain that you should know that tzaddikim in general refuse, there are many times that they refuse the mantle of leadership, to be leaders of Klal Yisrael. Why does this come about? This comes about based on the anger of Hashem. What makes Hashem angry? When there's Avodah Zarah in the world, or any lack of shlemus in emunah in the world. This causes Hashem's anger. When Hashem is angry, Hashem turns away from Bnei Yisrael. When Hashem turns away from Bnei Yisrael, the tzaddikim also turn away from Bnei Yisrael, in the sense that they're not willing to lead them. And Rabbeinu Zal says, this is not good. This is not good for Bnei Yisrael. How does a person force the tzaddikim back on track, back to be willing to lead Bnei Yisrael? Rabbeinu Zal says that when a person passes this kind of test of exchanging anger for rachmonis, where a person is put into a situation where they could get angry and they stifle their anger with rachmonis, that brings about a similar reaction by Hashem, that this hastoras ponim of Hashem, Hashem's turning away, gets changed for his karvus, that Hashem turns towards Bnei Yisrael, and the tzaddikim turn towards Bnei Yisrael, and they accept this leadership. And with what do they lead Bnei Yisrael? With rachmonus. Ki merachmeim yinagim. So Rabbeinu Zal said, bedafka, this person, each Jew that undergoes this test of exchanging kas for rachmonus, he's the one who crowns the tzaddik, who forces the tzaddikim to accept this crown of rachmonis with which they lead Bnei Yisrael. This is most of what we had till now. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, ulefomim, at times, choshev odom bi'atzmoy sheyesh loy rachmonis al olam, a person thinks that they really have pity on the world, v'roitze ban hogosoy,
And therefore, he wants to lead the world because he feels that he's really good for them. He's needed, his leadership is needed, and he could really help the world and benefit the world. That's what he thinks is his reason for wanting to be a leader. But in truth, that's on the surface. Deep down inside, it's not the people that he's concerned about. He's concerned for himself. This person is really chasing after personal kavod. And he's simply justifying it to himself that he's really doing it because he wants to do good. That it's not that he wants the kavod for himself. He wants to be a leader so that he can serve the people. Whereas in truth, this person is very far from this kind of rachmonus. Now, we know that there are leaders like this. We know, for example, recently, the world saw a case of leaders of communist countries, for example, Romania, that there was a leader there, Yemach Shemoy Vezichroy Ceausescu, who was a leader who ruled that country for many years. And we could be sure that in his speeches, first of all, when he was looking to become the leader of the government, and when he first started, obviously he was doing it for the people. He was only accepting this malchus for the sake of the people, supposedly. When in fact we find years later, when things got opened up, when people found out the real story behind what was going on, they discovered that he had robbed the people of millions of dollars, which he took for himself, selfishly, the worst type of achzorius possible, to take bread out of people's mouths. People in the country were starving, and this person had millions and built castles for himself and had the fanciest, wealthiest things, and was prepared to run away from the country and steal bread from people just so that he should be able to be rich. So we see again this corruption, that at one time a person presents himself as one who's looking to be merachim on the people, and in the end we find out that it was really a redifa for personal kavod. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki kol zman she'ein la'odom emuna bishlemus she'ein shlemus achrov, until a person is zeicha to the highest degree of perfection in emuna, bevadai ein loy lekabel hamelucha v'ha'hanhoga, such a person certainly is not worthy to accept any kingdom or leadership of Bnei Yisrael. Vafilu mi shemamin bi'ezedovor shumidarkei huamoiri, and even a person who has the slightest, tiniest degree of superstition, where he believes in things other than pure, though he does believe in Hashem to a degree, such a person certainly should not accept upon himself leadership. Ki hamanhigus ikro bebechinas rachamim, because Rabbeinu Zal says leadership is mostly dependent on rachmonus. We learned the pasuk earlier, ki marachmem yenagom, that manhigus is rachmonus. Ve'ikro horachamim bahasoras akum, and the main rachmonus is in removing avodah zorah, in eliminating avodah zorah. Vafilu shemetz akum, even the tiniest trace of avodah zorah, because we know there's nothing that gets Hashem angry. The Gemara says, "Kol zman sheyesh avodah zorah ba'olam, charoin af ba'olam." What gets Hashem angry? Avodah zorah. So if, and what's the opposite of anger? Rachmonus, pity, kindness, softness. So it's the one who's able to eliminate the avodah zorah the most, that's the one who's able to bring about the rachmonus by Hashem the most. So Rabbeinu Zal is showing here that that's dependent. Who can eliminate the avodah zorah the most? The one that has the most emuna. Person has to have the most perfect degree of emuna to be able to realize what's avodah zorah and to be able to wipe out every last trace of it. Vafilu kishihu oimer tzvi hivsikoi, and even those people who say a deer ran past, that means something. There are people who look for all kinds of signs, and they say this is a bad sign, or this is a good sign, all of that kind of stuff, that's not tied in directly to the Torah, to the Hashkoch of Hashem. Ein loy rachmonus bishlemus, such a person will not have perfect rachmonus, 100% rachmonus that's needed to be a leader. B'chein ein loy lekabel hamanhigus. Therefore, such a person should not accept a leadership position. Afilu mi sheyesh loy emuna gedoyla. Even a person who has tremendous emuna, still, it's not good enough. Ad sheyefashvei shesatzmoy, until the person checks himself very carefully, shelo yishar etzloi emunois she'ein tzorech lahamim, to the point where he doesn't have any droplet of believing in what he's not supposed to believe in. He only believes 100% in Hashem, in the Torah, exactly the way he's supposed to. Kigoin darkei ho'emoiri hanal, for example, what the Torah calls darkei ho'emoiri, that there were certain things that the goyim used to believe in. Again, walking under a ladder, different things that they used to believe was a bad sign, and this was a good sign, all of that kind of stuff. Rabbein Ezal says it's only a person that doesn't have even the tiniest drop of that. V'sheyiye tomim im Hashem aleikov, but he's 100% believing in Hashem. Oz horachmonus v'emes. Only then will that person be zeicha to true rachmonus. Veloy roy lahanig, and for such a person, it's worthy. The leadership is he deserves to be a leader. Aval mi she'ein lo emuna b'shleimus, but a person who doesn't have 100% perfect emuna, v'nidme she'yesh loy rachmonus al olam, and it seems as if he has rachmonus on the people, v'roitze lahanig es olam, and he wants to lead the people. Ze bechinas v'hamalchus tehofech leminus. The Gemara says that before the coming of Moshiach, there's going to be all kinds of bad things that are going to happen to the world and to Bnei Yisrael. One of the bad things that are going to happen is that the Malchus is going to be converted to Minus, to Apikursus. That you're going to have Apikursim in leadership positions, that kind of thing. That Malchus, the Malchus of Kedusha, will be converted to Minus. Kima'at ha-Minus poigem b'Malchus. Because the tiniest drop of Apikursus, the tiniest imperfection in Emuna, spoils the Malchus. Bebechinas Hanhogo, it affects a pigam in the Hanhogo, umahapcho leminus, and it converts it to minus. Kemoi shemahapech es hamalchus liatzmoi shehu min ma'at. Like the person, this person himself, who converts this Malchus to a tiny, in other words, to like the person who has the tiniest degree of apikursus, taking the malchus onto himself, that's this concept of the malchus tehofech leminus, that the malchus is falling into the hands of one who has a degree of minus, of apikursus. It's interesting, I didn't see this in the Meforshim, the fact that the Gemara brings this exact lotion, v'hamalchus tehofech leminus, this will be converted to this. The word Malchus is bigimatria 496, exactly. The word Minus could be spelled with a Yud, without a Yud. The Yud, a lot of times in cases like this, could be there, could not be there. The word Minus, Mem Nun Vav Tov, is exactly 496. Showing that this could be there, it's a choice. It's either this or it's this. If there's any degree of apikursus, then the tziruf is minus. It's only if the minus is eliminated completely, 100%, then this same item will rearrange itself to be malchus. Malchus dikdusha is totally in emuna. And the rachmonus, this whole concept of having rachmonus on Bnei Yisrael, the only rachmon is the one who has the greatest degree of emuna in Hashem, shleimus emuna, because the opposite of rachmonus is kas. Kas comes about through lack of emuna. The Gemara says avodah zarah brings kas about. So it's only the one that has perfected the emuna to the greatest degree. That's the one who it's understood he has eliminated avodah zarah, eliminated the kas, which means he's the one who has the pure rachmonus. He's the one who's worthy of being a leader. That's why again Dovra Melech, who's known as the greatest degree of emuna, tefillah. Emuna is totally in tefillah. David HaMelech was the one who produced the Sefer Tehillim, which is the combination of all the possible tefillahs for Bnei Yisrael. That's the one who's roy for Malchus.
What's the distinction between these types of darkei hamari that Rabbein Zal says a person shouldn't have any of, and certain items like that some people are noig to be careful in, let's say stepping over a child and then walking back, things along those lines?
One word, the Torah. the things that Hashem says a person shouldn't do because they're mesukon, they're dangerous or something like that, that's a question of believing in Hashem. Things that don't have any mocker in the Torah at all, and yet people believe in them, because why do they believe? Because somebody told them that there is such a thing, and it doesn't have any source in the Torah or in Yiddishkeit, that's Darkei Amoraim.
Rabbeinu says that there are certain types of mishnah that everybody has. Here he says a person shouldn't go after malchus, etc. What about those areas where a person can, you know,
it seems he's implying that the malchus is dependent on this. That according to what degree of shleimus a person has in emunah, that's what will determine their shleimus in rachmonus, that's what will determine their malchus, period. So in other words, we mentioned the example of Achashverosh, that there are certain cases of people who appeared to have malchus on the surface, but really it's shallow. In other words, in a sense, either he's fooling himself or he's fooling the people. Here you have a case here in Eretz Yisrael of a government. One minute they're all running around big shots as if they're in charge. The next minute, scramble, all hiding under the table, all looking like nuts, like little children. Nobody knows who's on first, what's on second. Nobody, don't begin to know where they're coming from. And again, it's a case where people see clearly that there's no rachmonus whatsoever by them. Just to have to be willing to show some face of sanity, just for the sake of the people, not to insult the people, that they're not willing either, because there's no the malchus is not dependent, is not tied into any rachmonis on the people, because it's not based on emuna. Oidia, there's a lot of things that are tied into that. One item that Rabbeinu Zal gives is oidia emunos chabefi, that a person the emuna is totally in tefillah. The barometer for emuna is tefillah, in terms of what degree of kavona in tefillah, and how much, you know, all the different things related to tefillah. That's one example. The pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu vayhi yodov emuna. The targum says prisan b'tzloi, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to battle against Amalek, Amalek represents the opposite of emuna. How did he battle Amalek? Tefillah. That's what it says. No, he went up on a mountain. Doesn't say he went into a base medrash. It says he went up on a mountain to be mispalel, period. That's the emunah. And to what degree? This is where Rabbeinu Zal stressed that people think tefillah is 2-3 hours a day, and tefillah only applies to certain things. Rabbeinu Zal said tefillah b'shleimus means where I won't do anything, I won't touch anything, unless I daven for it. In other words, I won't accept, the Zohar HaKadosh says that there were tanoim who would walk into their house, there'd be a meal on the table, ready, and he would go into another room to be mispal, Hashem, please give me the meal, please give me food to eat. Was he playing a joke on Hashem? What do you mean, the food's there, you're asking for the food? No. He knew that he wouldn't touch, he didn't want to have, just like the Gemara says, that a person's not allowed to have hanoah from anything in this world without making a bracha. What's a bracha? A tefillah. He didn't want to take anything, he didn't want to take anything to himself without first asking Hashem for it. Otherwise, it's like stealing. If I go out and buy myself a pair of shoes with money, honestly, perfect kosher money that I meisered and everything, I go out and buy a pair of shoes, and I didn't say, Hashem, please give me shoes, and let me be zecher to use the shoes to serve you with, don't let me do anything wrong with the shoes, etc., all of those things, then there's something lacking, there's something missing from it. There's a certain shleimus ho'emunah that's missing in it. Rabbeinu Zal taught a derech through which a person could be zeichet to an unbelievable shleimus ha'emunah, where a person gets into the habit of knowing that every single day, anything and everything that takes place during the day, he includes in his tefillah, either before the day or after the day, or both. When he's about to begin the day, he plans out in his mind. He has a whole day in front of him. He knows basically what he thinks he's going to do. And every step of the way, I'm going to be going to shul today. Let me be zecher to go to shul the right way. And in shul, I should do the right thing. And when I go out of shul, I'm going to eat. Let me be zecher to eat like a human being, not like an animal. Every single step of the way, being mispalel, that's all part of his shleimus ha'emunah. It's brought also, I think, that when the Gemara says in Makkos, that they tried summarizing the Torah, each one brought a different item to one tzaddik was able to show how the 613 mitzvahs could be shrunk into 11 basic concepts. And the final one, Chavakuk Hanovi said that I could show that the Torah could be summarized in one item, V'tzadik be'emunoso yichya. I once mentioned this to Rebbe Zal, so that the last letters of tzadik be'emunoso yichya make up the word kaveh. Kaveh el Hashem. That this inyan of tzadik be'emunoso yichya is tefillah. He lives with emuna. Rabbi Nezal says, tefillah lokel chayoi. My life is tefillah lokel, davening to Hashem. So in this paragraph, Rabbi Nezal explained that it's possible for a person to fool himself or to fool other people into thinking that he has Rachmonis, and that's why he wants to be Melech, when it's really purely a redifa for Kovoid. And Rabbi Nezal said the thing that's most necessary for being a Melech, to be Zeichet that it's Rachmonis, is perfection of Emuna. Next, paragraph Dalet. Rabbi Nezal says, "V'dai, you should know, shoha emuna machazekes tomid b'malchus v'ha'hanhogo shelo yikach oisa zor she'eno roi." There's two things that which we described before, basically as one: malchus, kingdom, and emuna, faith. Rabbi Nezal said, "You should know that this item of emuna holds on to the malchus very tightly, and it won't let anybody that's lacking in emuna grab hold of the malchus, take this malchus to himself. Emuna grasps the malchus very tightly, not allowing somebody that doesn't have emuna to grab onto it. Vida, that's item number one. Next, vida, and you should know, she'ikar hamalchus sharosho b'chochma. You should know that this item, malchus, its roots, its origin, is in chochma. The Zohar HaKadosh many times says, Abba yosad brato, that the father was the one who founded the daughter. Brato is bas melech, Rabbi Nezal's first story, Maisa me'avedas bas melech, the daughter. Abba is chochma, av b'chochma rach b'shonim, it says, by Yosef HaTzadik. He was called Avrech, av b'chochma. So Rabbi Nezal says you should know that the Iker Malchus Sharosha Bechochma Bishvil Kidei Leida Eich Lahanig Valimloich. Because in terms of ruling, in order to rule, you need brains. Very simple. You need to know how to rule. Lochein Yesh Lechol Melech Chachomim V'yoyatzim. Therefore, if you look throughout the Torah, or Lahavdil, you look throughout the history books, or you look even today, there's no such thing as a king with or a president without a cabinet of advisors. Each king has a team of yoyatzim. Achashverosh had yoyatzim. Haman Lahavdil, Chachomov Vizeresh Ishtoi, he had a team of advisors. Anybody that has any degree of malchus has to have a set of chachomim associated with it. Because that's what makes it that his kingdom should stand up and the country should survive. This is what the Pasuk says in Chumash, Vayihi Bishurun Melech Behisasef Rosheyom. Hainu Alidei Rosheyom, through the brains, Rosh means the heads, the brains of the people, Shehem Hamoichin Vahachochmo, Al Yodom. Tikoin bechinas hamalchus bishurun melech means when the kingdom was established solid. When is the kingdom strong? Behisas if roshayom, when it's tied into to sechel. Valyidei ahavas hachachomim tikoin hamalchus. Rabbi Nezal said if a person wants his kingdom to stand firm, he must love chachomim. And when a king finds himself hating chachomim, yodua lehevilei shemen hashamayim yoriduhu mimalchusoi, he should know that that's an indication that they're going to drop him from his kingdom. You look in Megillas Esther, the Mephoshim show in the back here, by Haman. Haman had all the honor, all the kavod in the world. Everybody was bowing down to him. It says, V'chol ze einenu shoyveli b'chol eis asher ani roya Mordechai ha-Yehudi. But he hated Mordechai's guts so much that it was killing him. All the kavoy that everybody was giving him didn't compare to him to the sinner that he felt towards Mordechai. What happened a second later? He fell. Haman fell. As a result of this sinner for Chachomim. Rabbi Nizal says here that it's Ahava for Chachomim that establishes the kingdom, that gives the kingdom a kiyum. Ki ein kiyum lo'olam b'loy chochma, because the world cannot have any kiyum at all without chochma. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, melech b'mishpot yamid eretz, a king with mishpot establishes the world, holds the world in his hands. V'hamishpot hu bechinas chachomim, and we know that mishpot, who are the ones who govern the mishpat? The chachamim, again, the smart people. Bebechinas, as the Gemara says, there's a pasuk in Chumash that says, "Ve'imes mishpotai tigal nafshichem." If you will despise my mishpotim, and the Gemara says, "Vedorshu ze hasoinei sachachamim." This pasuk is referring to a person who hates talmidei chachamim. So we see that mishpat is another word for referring to chachamim, talmidei chachamim. Nimtzo ze she'ein lo emuna b'shleimus machmas darkei ha'moiri. Therefore, when a person who's not perfect in emuna, he has some little bit of this darkei ha'moiri in him, kishebo likach li'atzmoi hamalchus v'ha'hanhogo, when such a person will try to rule, he'll try to be a king, he'll try to take malchus himself, v'hu ein roilo, and he's not really worthy of ruling, Azai ho emuna shesoviv hahanhogo, then the emuna that's surrounding this malchus, there's a pasuk ve emunascha svivoisecha, emuna in circles, the emuna that surrounds the malchus, hamachzik bahahanhogo shaloyiga bazor, the emuna that holds on very tightly to the malchus, not letting anybody that's not supposed to rule be able to grab onto this malchus, humapil lo ish ze lesinas chachomim. The emuna will topple that person into sinas chachomim. It'll cause that person to fall into hating chachomim, kedei shelo yiskayim biyodoi hamalchus vamanhigus, so that the person should not succeed in taking hold of this malchus, or in becoming a melech, or in holding on to malchus. Ubevadai lo yiskayim biyodoi, and certainly as soon as that happens, as soon as he falls into sinas chachamim, you'll see right away his malchus will fall, will crumble. Ki ikar hamalchus tolui b'mishpat kanal, because melech b'mishpat yamid eretz. The malchus is tolui in mishpat, which means the chachamim. Elo imkein ze, period. So that's what's going to happen. This is how the emuna fights against somebody that doesn't deserve to be a melech. If the person has darkei ha'moiri, it's possible for him to grab onto the malchus for a little bit. We see that Haman had darkei ha'moiri, a goyrol, he threw a goyrol, he believed in astrology, which month, a month of Adar, it came out, he felt good, all this bechin of lack of emuna, amolek, sofek, the opposite of emuna. So what happens is, such a person can grab hold of the malchus temporarily for a short time, but then the emuna itself goes to battle against that person. How does it battle him? It causes that person to fall into a specific crime, the crime being sinas chachamim. As soon as that happens, the person gets knocked out of the box. As soon as that happens, the person won't be able to hold on to malchus anymore, because malchus must be dependent on this item of avas chachamim. Ki ikra malchus, right, ki elo, Rabbi Nizal says, but there's one way that this person who has sinas chachamim and who's not sholem in emuna will be able to hold on to the malchus. How is that? Elo imkein ze hamachzik b'malchus mizgaber ba'apikursus uminus ad shemafrid esu emuna mehanhogo. However, if this person who's not really worthy of being a melech because he's lacking in emuna and he got pushed into sinas chachamim, if this person will use his apikursus and his minus, he'll strengthen it to such a point where he'll break the emuna away from the malchus. It's as if these are two things that are holding hands, the emuna and the malchus. If he can break the connection, then Azai yochoy lihiyois sheyiskayim hamalchus biyodoi. Then it's possible that he'll be able to hold on to the malchus. Because it's the emunah that's going to be fighting him. The emunah is going to try to push him away to break his connection to the malchus, to throw him into sinas chachomim. But if he will be mezgaber through super apikursis in breaking the connection between emunah and malchus, then he can hold on to his malchus. Ki ein mi sheyapiloi seiles sinas chachomim. Because once he breaks the connection between the emunah and the malchus, there's nothing there to push him into sinas chachomim. Ki ho emunah nifredes me hamalchus. Because the emunah has become separated from the malchus. So Rabbeinu is also showing us here that you should know when does emunah have koyach. When it's attached to Malchus. Then the Emunah can fight and can protect the Malchus from the wrong kind of person falling into the wrong hands, etc. But Rabbi Nathal says you should know that there's a power in Rishoim to affect a pirud between Emunah and Malchus. And once that happens, it'll be possible for this Rasha to hold on to the Malchus. The Emunah, once it's separated from the Malchus, won't be able to defeat him, won't be able to beat him.
Malchus, meaning the Malchus of Kedusha.
Why don't say like how we had cases in the Navi of these Jewish kings who were stooped in Avodah Zarah? They were kings for 20 or 30 or 40 years.
Of course. That in other words, he's showing that there is an option, that there's a battle that goes on between Kedusha and Tumah, and there are certain things that the Kedusha uses to fight against the Tumah, and there are certain ways that the Tumah can be Mizgaber against the Kedusha for a certain period of time, as we'll see in a minute. For a certain period of time. It seems here for sure, you'll see, I think, from the next paragraph that he's talking about the Malchus of Kedusha. Now Rabbi Nizal says, going back to the story in the Gemara that we had quoted in the previous year that was tied into this. Rabbi Nizal had quoted a story that Rabbi Yonason told over. One time he was riding in a ship and he saw a treasure chest that had in it beautiful precious stones and diamonds, and they wanted to write. And there were all kinds of fish swimming around it that were called birsha. And he said a diver dove down to try to capture this chest. And what happened was when the fish saw him coming, they wanted to take a bite out of his thigh. And then he threw a bottle of vinegar at them, and this caused the fish to run away. And then a basko came out and said, what do you want this treasure chest for? This is the treasure chest of the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, and she's storing in it tcheles for tzadikim losed lovoi. This was the story in the Gemara that we quoted last year. Now Rabbi Nizal explains a little piece of that story. V'zeh v'nochis bar amoiroi lasuye. It says a diver went down to try to get this treasure chest. And the word that the Gemara uses for a diver is called bar amoiroi. Rabbi Nizal says bar amoiroi ze she'ein loy emuna bishleimus. The word bar amoiroi could also be referring to somebody who has this darkei ho'emoiri, as it's called in Chumash, which means people that believe in things that are outside the framework of Torah. They believe in what's called superstition. Atmei, and the fish that was surrounding this chest, this treasure chest, wanted to stop him by taking a bite out of his leg, out of his thigh. Atmei means his thigh. Rabbi Nizal says, Zebechinas oitem oznoi mishmoy adomim. There's a pasuk that says that a person, a Jew, should strive to be on a level where he closes his ears from listening to blood. Meaning, Deloishoma bezilusa detzurba meirabonon veshosik, the Gemara says. That he won't stand by listening while a rabbi is being insulted and be silent. That's this oitem oznoi mishmoy adomim. He doesn't make believe he's not listening. In other words, he won't stand by silently when a Talmud Chacham is being insulted or being embarrassed. So these fish, Hainu birshahanal, rotzo lehapiloisoi lesinas chachomim. If it says they wanted to bite his atmei, it means they wanted to puncture this quality of oite mosnoi, this ahavas chachomim. They wanted to throw him into sinas chachomim. Vizorak ziko dechala, he threw a bottle of vinegar at them, vinochas, and the fish went away. Chalo, Chalo is the Aramaic word for vinegar here. Cheslamet Aleph, not Cheslamet Hey. Chalo bechinas his gabrus haminus. Chalo refers to a rise of apikursis. Vinegar refers to something like wine that spoils. That represents a hisgabrus apikursis. Ki is chameitz levovi. There's a pasuk in Tehillim which says, my heart became spoiled, which means a lack of emuna, pigam en emuna. Vaydezev enochas esabir shahanal. And that's how he was able to cause the fish to run away. We had learned last week that the birsha represented emuna. Tachas hanat sutziale baroish, the Gemara had said, tachas homon came Mordechai. Mordechai was called baroish, and Mordechai was the symbol of emuna. Ish Yehudi, hoya b'shush nabi roshmoy Mordechai. The Gemara says, who's called Yehudi? One who's kleifer b'avodah zarah. So the birsha represented emuna. Through this vinegar, through this hisgabrus of apikursis, this chimut salev, that's what caused the fish, the emuna, to run away. Like the emuna wasn't able to battle him, to throw him into sinas chachomim. Note, interestingly, chometz is vinegar. Chometz refers to apikursis. Chometz also refers to apikursis. Matzah is called nezer kodesh maichlo de mehemenusa, the food of faith. Matzah is called the Meichel of Emuna, which means that Chometz is apikursis. Chometz is the opposite of that. Rav Nosson Zal explains in the Aluchos a lot of reasons why. But you see that Chometz or Chometz are both associated with apikursis, the opposite of Emuna. Next. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ube'emes malche ho'akum af al pi shemoil chemoleinu Ein b'malchus de sitra achro mebechinas malchus de gdusha v'loy noguba. Rabbeinu Zal says the fact is, even though it seems as if there are leaders of the goyim that at times were ruling over Bnei Israel, be it Achashverosh, or be it again even Jews living in countries where the leader is a goy, a non-Jew, even though it seems at times that the Jews are being led by a malchus akum, akum could mean goyim, or akum could mean people that don't believe in Hashem, people that are koifrim, people that are not ma'aminim, this malchus o akum, af al pi shem moel chem oleinu, even though they're ruling over us, ein b'malchus de sitrachma b'bechinas malchus de kedusha. It's not because they've captured the malchus de kedusha and they have it in their pockets, v'loi noguba, they haven't even touched it. Just like, where do we see this v'loi noguba related to Megillas Esther? The Zohar HaKadosh says, who is the symbol of Malchus? Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka is the symbol of Malchus Tikdusha, the symbol of the Shechina. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Achashverosh never laid a finger on Esther. The Gemara uses the lotion that she went first, she went to be with Achashverosh, and then she toiveled and went to be with Mordechai. The Zohar HaKadosh says, don't you dare think that that's literally what it means, that Achashverosh touched her, or Chas V'Shalom was metameh her. Each time Achashverosh wanted to be with her, the Zohar HaKadosh says there was a sheda in the form that looked like Esther Amalka, that would let Achashverosh do with it whatever he wanted to do, whereas Esther Amalka was never touched. That's exactly the wording that Rabbeinu Zal is using here. That you should know that the Malchus Akum, even though they're ruling over us, you should know that they don't have a hold on the Malchus Tikdusha, and they never even get to touch the Malchus Tikdusha. Or Sarah. Sarah lived 127 years, corresponding to Achashverosh, who ruled over 127 countries. 127 is the number of Malchus. By Sarah also, couldn't touch her. Avimelech couldn't touch her. Paroi couldn't touch. Each one of these women who represented the Malchus de Kedusha couldn't be touched whatsoever by the Malchus de Klipa. Kimi sheroitz eligabo, because one who wants to touch the Malchus of Kedusha, zev vozeh loy neskayim biyodoy. Hainu afilu malchusam alhuma soilam nitla mehem. What happens is, not only won't he succeed in being moilech over the Yidden, but he'll be forced to give up his malchus over the goyim even. If he tries to be moishel over the Yidden, he'll end up losing his malchus to the goyim. Ki ho emuna shesoviv malchuseinu mapil es chachmosam. The emuna that surrounds our malchus will cause their chachma to fall. The kingdom depends on its chachamim, on its advisors. So the emuna will force the advisor, the malchus, to fall, by being mapil the chachomim. V'zeh shekosuv b'machpolas Mitzrayim. This is why when the Torah talks about the kingdom of Mitzrayim having a mapola, it says noyalu sorei tzoyan. The rulers of Tzoyan became foolish. Noyalu means became foolish. A pegamen chokhma al yedei iveles. That's the bechina of foolishness. Hainu nefilas chokhmosom al yedei iveles. Hainu nefilas chokhmosom noflo malchusom. When their chokhma fell, their malchus fell. V'ze shomru chananya mishoel v'azari elav Nebuchadnezzar. This is where we find that when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to threaten Hananiah, when he wanted them to bow down to the Avodah Zorah, Hananiah Mishael v'Azariah, and he told them that if they don't, he's going to throw them into a kivshon of Eish. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, so they said to him, Ato moloch oleinu lecharga. Fine, you can boss us around when it comes to taxes, paying taxes and other things, you're king. Avolahane goysonu ba'avoidois ve'emunois. But if you want us to worship your idol or to believe in your baloney, at the kalba shove, you and a dog are equal to us. You have the same chashivas to us. Like we'll listen to a dog, we'll listen to you. This is what they said to Nebuchadnezzar, showing him again that his malchus was nothing to them. Hainu she'omru she'loi noga b'malchus digdusho ha'shayech le'emunoseinu. They were telling him, just because you're a melech, don't think you've affected our emuna one drop. Because when a goy takes hold of malchus, he cannot, his malchus is not in any way the malchus digdusha, the emuna hakdosha, that he can take hold of. Ki emunosenu soiveves es hamalchus v'shoimeres leiso miliga bozor. They were telling him that our emuna surrounds the malchus and protects it from allowing anybody that's unworthy from getting it. Umapil es roidfeho l'sinas chachomim. And it causes those people that are chasing after the malchus to fall into sinas chachomim. Imloi shetokfo yad ho haminus al ho emuna, unless the minus strengthens itself to such a degree over the emuna, ad shemapile so emuna, to the point where it brings down the emuna. Va'oz yochoy lekabel malchus dikdusha chas v'shalom. And then it's possible for the goy, for the akum, to capture the malchus of kedusha, bebechinas v'zorak cholo v'nochas, where this bar amoiroi threw the vinegar at the fish, and the fish were forced to run away. Meaning, the vinegar represented the chimutz halev, the minus, the apikursus, that when the apikursus is mizgaber to a certain height, it can even destroy the emuna. In other words, it could even break the connection between the emuna and the malchus, where then the goyim can actually capture the malchus digdusha to a degree. Note again, interestingly, we say that the difference bechlal between emuna and kthira is a tiny drop. Tiny drop. The dalid and the resh, Hashem echod versus kel acher. The tiny drop between the dalid and the resh. Minus emunois. Say the difference is that aleph, like emes and mace. A mace is the opposite. Emes is chayim, bo'er pnei melech chayim is emes, and mace is the opposite of that. Minus represents the epitome, the opposite of faith, moves, death, and emunois is the opposite of that. Just the aleph, that tiny drop of difference. Now Rabbi Nizal continues. Avolda, but you should know, shemina shemayim ein manichim oisoi likach oiso. That still, even after he's misgaber with his apikursus, mina shemayim, they won't let him capture the malchus. Bebechinas, as the story continues and says, v'nafgis braskolo, a baskoil came out from shemayim and said to this diver, Ma islechu bahadi kartaliso de itzad Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. What are you doing trying to capture this treasure chest of the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa? Da asido lemishte bot chelto letzadikaya dalmadosi, in which she is going to put away tcheles for the tzadikim loosid lovoi. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to get into something heavy a little bit. Rabbi Nizal says, "Hainu al yedei shleimus ha'oisiyos shel diburei emuna." Note, what is emuna? Tfila, dibur.
through shlemus of the letters, of the words of Emuna, shehu bechinas eshes Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. That's what's represented by the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. Now Rabbi Nassal is going to explain. Ki Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa ze bechinas Emuna. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, we know what he was the symbol of. He was the symbol of Emuna. Ki midosoi Emuna. The Gemara says his mido was Emuna. How does the Gemara say his mido was Emuna? Story what? How does the Gemara say that that Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa was Emuna? What did they come to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa for? Tefillah. The Gemara says, whenever they needed rain, they came to him for tefillah. Whenever they needed anything, they came to him for his tefillah. And he was able to say with his tefillah, he was able to tell who would live, who would die, everything. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, midosei emuna, bechinas, v'chanino, beni, dailoi, bekav, charuvin. The Gemara says that every day a baskoil used to come out and say that every single person in the world gets their parnosa in the schus of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, and Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa is satisfied with a kav charuvin. He just eats charuvin every day. Charuvin means boktzer. A bag of boktzer he eats a day. That's it. All the parnasa, all the wealth in the world comes in his schus, and he goes for the least possible. What is charuvin? Rabbi Nassal says, kav charuvin midas emuna. Kav charuvin represents emuna. Charuvin bechinas beroishim. Because we know another word for boktzer in the Gemara, boktzer is called beroishim. It's the same thing. Birsha, that we said before. Tachas hanatzutz yale beroish. Beroish was Mordechai. Natsus was Haman. Beroish was Mordechai. Bechinas bir shahanal. So we see that Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa represents the union of emuna. Eishes Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. If he's emuna, what's the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa? Eishes ze bechinas ha'oisiois sheshleimusa malidei emuna. Eishes represents the letters which receive shleimus through emuna. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says in Chumash, Avonim Shleimois Tivne. Hashem says that when you'll build a Mizbeach for me, build it from complete stones. Not broken stones, but whole stones. Avonim Shleimois Tivne is Roshei Tevois Eishes, the wife. Rabbi Nizal says, Va'avonim Heim Ho'isios. Stones is another word for letters. Kemaimar, as the Pasuk says in the Sefer Yetzirah, Shloisho Avonim Boinois Shishobatim, that three stones can build six houses. And over there the Sefer Yetzirah is talking about letters, that if I take three letters, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, I can form six different combinations with them. Aleph, Beis, Beis, Gimel, Aleph, Gimel, you know, I can arrange it six different ways. Three letters, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Aleph, Gimel, Beis, you know, in six different sequences. So the Sefer Yetzirah there is using the word avonim to mean oisiois. Ve'oisiois nishlomim al yidei emuna. And we know that letters get their shlemus through emuna. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, oz ahafoich al ho'amim sofa brura, likroi kulam b'shem Hashem. Rabbi Nizal says, Oz ahafoich al ha'amim sofa brura, that there'll come a time when Hashem is going to give the goyim a clear speech. They're going to be able to speak clearly. That means, Hainu al yidei, they're going to get this shleimus ois. Here's how. Hainu al yidei emuna, shehu bechinas likroi kulam b'shem Hashem. Through the fact that they'll all be proclaiming Hashem as king, meaning they'll believe in Hashem, through that they'll be zeichet to this oz avoy chaloamim sofa brura, that their letters will be b'shleimus. Bechinas shleimus hadibur. This is the concept of shleimus hadibur. Ushleimus ha'oisiois ze bechinas hatachlis shel kol hanivroim. And the concept of shleimus oisiois, when a person is zeicha to a shleimus hadibur, where each ois, each letter of every word is b'shleimus by him, that's the tachlis of all the nivroim. Where each ois, each letter of every word is b'shleimus by him, that's the tachlis of all the nivroim.